Since the joyous days of Epiphany, the tenure of our worship has changed and it's changing again. We are beginning to recognize the tunes, the songs. Somebody told me at the door after the first service, it was so great to sing the hymns that I grew up with. And I could see it came from the bottom of her heart. Yes, it is Lenten time. For Jesus, the period before the crucifixion led through Jericho. And you're down in the southern part of the current Israel in Jericho, and then you have to go up north from there. And Jerusalem is on a hill. And when you approach from far, you can already see the buildings, the tall buildings in Jerusalem. Going north, in those days, it was just beyond walking distance. And through the ages, people have come to talk about the Jericho Road. Down the Jericho Road, there where Jesus passed before he went up to Jerusalem. And in my own life, the Jericho Road has a very specific meaning. And may it be true for all of us. Now I want to tell you that some of the modern tour guides, nowadays you cannot really risk to go in that region, or they will advise you strongly against it. But a quarter century ago, when I had the privilege of going there a few times with different tour groups from Southern Africa, things were still a bit different and you could move a bit freer than then. And I know that the tour guides, with a little wink, has a little joke that they play on people. And when you enter Jericho with the tour bus, they used to say, "Now we're underway to a place that all of you have longed to see all your life. I'm going to show you the sycamore tree in which Zacchaeus sat when Jesus went through." And guess what? Everybody grabbed their cameras and suddenly they realize, "Oh, what am I doing?" Jericho has been broken down and rebuilt and broken down again and rebuilt through the ages. But yes, there are still sycamore trees to this day, and you can shade yourself under them. Let's read from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 19. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay in your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. And all who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." Here ends our scripture reading. May the reading of scripture, and as we think it over, be marked this morning by the visible presence of God's Spirit in our midst, so that we can follow, that we can understand, and that we can also apply the Word to our very lives. My friends, there are many delightful descriptions of great moments in the Bible. From time to time, I feel the need to walk another walk with Jesus down the Jericho Road. No, none of us had ever had that privilege. But for us as followers of Jesus Christ, we know exactly what it means. And at times, maybe especially during Lenten time, then we seek the Jericho Road before we go to Jerusalem to witness the crucifixion. There's so much treasure to discover in this passage. I would say it's almost Oscar time. We have the tendency to give awards and prizes. This one would get my vote as a sure Oscar winner. It's unsurpassed in description, in power, in beauty, and in message. We know that Jesus was already a thorn in the flesh of the Pharisees and church leaders of his time. They were so very articulate about their particular religious prejudices and never hesitated to enforce them. And I can assure you, they mostly did it in an unfriendly way. And oh yes, they had a long list of prejudices and strict rules against just about everyone and everything. But somehow they mostly seemed to fail to realize anything about their sinful lives. One of the rules was it was unbecoming for a Jew to mix with a Samaritan. Well, Jesus crossed that barrier, and a poor Samaritan woman found living water, and she was assured that she would never thirst again. It was unbecoming for a Jew to associate with or even to come near a prostitute, unless you were willing to despise, condemn, and even stone her. Well, Jesus crossed that barrier, and a broken woman found forgiveness and a savior. Have you noticed that there is not a single reference in the Bible where Jesus discriminates against anyone? So the question here is, what would Jesus do about Zacchaeus? This man was a known sinner, and he was a publican. Zacchaeus, the head of the tax collectors in the city of Jericho. Now we must understand something here. This was also a test in the eyes of the Pharisees and the church leaders, because they understood their local situation. They knew more about their local politics than Jesus obviously did. So they were watching him and wonder, what would he do and say? Because many had heard that he was a troublemaker, and they better be on the defense against him. So this marked man, Zacchaeus, came out, and he knew, because word was out that Jesus was going to pass through the city, and he was also curious, and he knew it was good for him to stay away from the church leaders and from the Pharisees, So he found a place. He wasn't a tall man, he was short, so he got into a sycamore tree because he knew that Jesus was going to walk right past that sycamore tree. So there he sat, perched safely up into the tree, getting the best possible view of the master who would soon be passing by. And that was all the interest that he had. I want to see him, I want to watch him from a distance, and then I'll go back and he will be gone. Now this unpopular fellow was at that time in serious trouble with the other Jews in Jericho. We believe, because he later admitted that he was indeed a sinner, we believe that his conscience must have bothered him, and maybe that was the reason why he was reaching out. Somehow, maybe something can come his way that was good for his situation and could change him. Conscience? Well, has your conscience ever bothered you? Mine certainly has. Many, many times. And I know that I made several apologies in my life because I later realized that I had gone wrong. I had said the wrong thing. I did the wrong thing. And I know what it means to be bothered by a conscience. And it's a good thing that our consciences bother us sometimes, because that reminds us that there is something that we can do about it. It was like this one man. He had this problem with his conscience. So he finally, in desperation, went to his doctor. And he said, "Doc, you must please help me. My conscience is bothering me and I can't sleep at night." So the doctor asked him, "So my friend, do you want something to make your will power a little bit stronger?" "Oh no, Doc, I'm more interested in something to weaken my conscience." Well, Zacchaeus was a hated tax collector. The righteous people of Israel despised the tax collectors. They looked upon them as traitors to the Jewish cause against the oppressors. So, therefore, in those days, there was good money to be made by any Jew who was willing to collect taxes for the hated Roman conquerors. And in return, they got a healthy commission, I can assure you. And it was not tax like in our times. That's one thing that we know about ancient Rome, that they took the wealth from all the people that they warred against, from all their enemies, and finally transferred their wealth into the coffers of Rome. So it was an unreasonable tax, not a reasonable one. So if a Jew would grow wealthy because he was a tax collector, he better had to watch his back in those days. And Zacchaeus' career cost him dearly. And it was also a religious matter, because for the Jews there wasn't much difference between their culture and their religion. It was a religious matter. This man has not only turned his back on us, who are supposed to be his brothers and sisters, he has also turned his back on God. That's how they interpret it. This guy was a renegade in every sense. Now there is something that we need to understand, that even today in a divided and torn Israel, Muslims who came centuries after Jesus and Jews both call Abraham their progenitor. In other words, their ancestor in direct line. Abraham was their common spiritual father. And we know that the Bible says that Jesus was born finally out of the lineage of Abraham. So it was something of a status symbol. They proudly referred to themselves in those days as the seed of Abraham, or sons of Abraham. And the most common insult that poor Zacchaeus often heard was, "You are no longer a son of Abraham. You do not belong in our church. You do not belong in our city. You do not belong in our religion." No longer a son of Abraham. So we can conclude that the IRS guy, this one, gathered his wealth at a tremendous price. And I'm sure that the people who saw it winked and giggled when the outcast of the city climbed a tree because he wanted to see Jesus. Well, our kids would say he only wanted to check this guy out. He wanted to see the man of Nazareth passing by. And now that we understand the setting, can you imagine, with all these animosities, with all the local fights and the politics and the stories about Jesus and the church who felt itself threatened in those days? Imagine the electricity when Jesus entered town. And especially, we do not know how he knew Zacchaeus' name. Could be that somebody told him, "There is a sinner. His name is Zacchaeus. He's the tax collector." We do not know. But one thing is for sure. The Bible says that when Jesus passed by the sycamore tree, he stopped in his tracks. He looked up and he said, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay in your house today." Now the Bible says that this despised and rejected man did not hesitate. He hurried down and he beckoned Jesus to follow him. "Come, Jesus, let us get away from these people. They don't like us here. Come, come." And they went into his house. So this guilty ex-son of Abraham welcomed his unexpected visitor with joy. Now, friends, we do not know exactly what took place behind the closed doors. It was a meeting, a private meeting. We just get a small little peek into it. But we do know for sure that that visit in the home of Zacchaeus became the highlight of this publican's entire life. Hey, but that sounds familiar, does it not? Since then, since that day, countless millions of people have discovered that allowing this Jesus into their homes had consequences. Consequences for them. And that it could become the golden opportunity. The one visit that they will never regret. The first time when Jesus entered through their door. The Bible says that Zacchaeus found the key to becoming a new person. Because they were still eating in the middle of the meal, he suddenly stood up and said, "Listen, Lord." Hey, he didn't know the prophet before. He knew his name was Jesus. And after a short discussion, he no longer called him Jesus, he called him Lord. Ain't that great? Doesn't that tell us what took place that day in that publican's home? "Listen, Lord, I will give half of my belongings to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone, I will repay him four times over." And this is so amazing. Jesus made a declaration. He said, "Today, salvation has come to this house." something happened in that house. And through the centuries, theologians have wrestled with this happening and wondering how to best describe it. And very often today, we talk about that happening that day in Zacchaeus' home as a resurrection. He was spiritually dead. He was of no use to his society anymore. But right there, Jesus called into the cave of his sin and resurrected him from a life that was nothing else but a living death. And Zacchaeus could live again. How did the so-called righteous Jews feel when this man disappeared into the house of someone whom they had already decided on? The sentence already came down. It was over and done with. No appeal. He's no longer one of us. He's no longer a son of Abraham. And then immediately their venom turned unto Jesus. Bible says that they declared, "This man, look what he's doing. He's breaking our law. He's breaking our rules. This man is eating with sinners." And that was an accusation that no one could afford when there were Pharisees around. What a declaration. Indeed he does eat with sinners. Thank God he still eats with sinners. And you and I have discovered that when you open your heart, when you open your door, when you open your life, he still comes in and he touches and he changes you from the inside out, and your life is never ever the same again. Anytime a lost, unhappy person who wandered far away from God decides to allow Christ into his home and life, that's the gospel. Jesus still gladly walks through the open door. Imagine the one whom we call the Prince of Peace and Glory eats with those who need him most. Do you understand why I said at the beginning that sometimes you and I must go down the Jericho Road? Do you understand that sometimes in our lives we must come to a complete halt and once again look at ourselves through the eyes of our faith? Sometimes on the Jericho Road we get touched and changed. You and I, come down, Zacchaeus. Come down from your sycamore tree. Come on down, friend. We need to talk. And if that voice speaks in your heart and in mine today, hurry up, friend. Get out of that tree. You have an appointment with the Master. How do we look at these things? Well, an anonymous taxpayer recently sent a letter to the IRS saying that she had cheated on her income tax return 2 years ago and she had not been able to get a good night's sleep since. So she included a check for $25 and she wrote below it, "And if I still can't sleep, I will send the balance." Is that not what you and I often do with God? "Oh yes, Lord, I'll pay a little homage. I'll bring you some honor and a little bit of the glory that I feel for you in my heart. But don't ask too much. Don't ask me that I should be touched and changed. Because then, as far as I'm concerned, you can go right by me on the way to your cross in Jerusalem. I don't need you." people still negotiate with God. But after meeting and eating with Jesus, Zacchaeus threw back the money that he had wrongfully grabbed. But that was not enough. He was not only going to repay, he was going to pay four times over. Friend, and that is the real test, maybe the only test. That is the question that we have to ask ourselves during Lenten time as we once again approach Jerusalem. Does your relationship with God make a real difference? Can people see it in the way that we live, the way that we associate with others, the way that we deal with situations, and the way that we relate to the world around us? This entire Jericho story centers around the words with which Jesus reintroduces Zacchaeus to the disgruntled ones. Yes, he took the sinner away into the sinner's house. Something happened there. And then when they came out together, Jesus had an announcement to make. He had a reintroduction to make. He was saying to the leaders of Jericho, "You don't know this man anymore. This man is a real son of Abraham." And then they must have understood the rest. They were pointing fingers at Jesus. They were pointing fingers at Zacchaeus. But right that moment, God, through Jesus Christ, was pointing right back at them. Each and every one of them. In reality, they were the ones who that day received a call back to God. Jesus was telling them, your heritage with Abraham does not determine your relationship with God. When Zacchaeus found and received salvation in and through Jesus Christ, he was no longer an alien. He was no longer a stranger. But Jesus was putting up him for exhibition. See then, this is what a true son of Abraham looks like. One who has tears in his eyes. One who confesses his broken life. One who turns around. And I believe he followed from that day on. Your biological bloodline and mine can never determine our relationship with God. The story of Zacchaeus is really a story of resurrection out of the death of sin in and through Christ. Not only Zacchaeus, but also those who were so sure that they would never need it, could discover the way back to the heart of God. And since then, countless millions have invited Jesus into their hearts, into their homes, never to fall back and never to live in sin again. A personal question in closing. Have you so far just watched the Master walking by your sycamore tree? There down on the Jericho Road. Yes, it is now 2,000 years later. Everything has changed, but the basic message will never change. Instead of allowing him to pass by like so many times before, your life and mine can be touched. For the first time, or for the so manyth time, right here, this morning, today, in this church, begin your conversation, or restart it today in the presence of the Master, and your life and mine will never ever be exactly the same again. Come on, Zacchaeus, said Jesus. Let's go in. You and I have a discussion coming. Oh God, let it be. Let it happen with you and me. Once again in Lenten time, on their way to Jerusalem. Amen.